Can't sing that song without thinking of Little Chin. That was her favorite song when she attended with us last year before she went back to her home in Thailand. I remember us serenading Stacy in the aisles of Walmart with that song. But nice to think of Chin with that song. I'd like to welcome our visitors with us. We have a number of visitors, and we extend a welcome to you and to welcome you back whenever you get a chance. Today I'd like to look on in our lesson about focus. A few weeks ago, Curtis and I went out shooting, and when you're focusing in, trying to hit a target, the slightest little thing can make you lose focus. A breath, a jerk, just slightly looking away. You know, I think of focus with when I was a child, we'd play that game Operation. You know, you would have to be so focused trying to get that leg bone out without the buzzer going off. I think of driving, just how focused you have to be. I'll put it this way. How focused you should be when you're driving a car. It amazes me the things that I see out there. I mean, everything from people putting on makeup, texting, you name it. It takes focus to drive a car and continued focus. But those are literally single events. You know, you stay focused while playing, you know, when it's your turn in the game of Operation. Or you should be focused when you're going from point A to point B driving. Our focus upon God is a life. It's not a moment. It's not when it's your turn, when it's your roll of the dice or whatever, or when you get in the car. It is a life. And there's a number of things, if you grabbed an outline from the table, a number of things that I'd like to look at today in our brief time together that we should have focus on. And number one is we have to have focus on God and Jesus. Curtis read this morning Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. And it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Amen. Not a little bit, not when it's your turn, not when, you know, when it's time for church, for the assembly to come together, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, it says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We have to be focused in our life to make sure that we are getting or are trying to get to the Father through Jesus, not anybody else. Not any other book, nothing else, that we have to focus on God and Jesus. If you would turn over to Mark, the 8th chapter. See another example of Jesus' teaching here. Mark 8, starting in verse 34. It says, when he had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? We have to stay focused on God and Jesus if we ever plan on seeing God in heaven. And like we mentioned today in Bible class and in 1 John, how we can boldly approach judgment. We have to stay focused. There's some great examples in the Bible of people being focused. One is John the Baptist. In John 3, verse 30, it says, this is John the Baptist speaking. John the Baptist had a very good following, hundreds of people. He was preaching and preparing the way of the Lord. He had quite a following coming after him, listening to him preach. And I could see by the way of the world, it would have maybe been tempting for John to have wanted to keep that power. People coming to him, listening to him. And John the Baptist said in John 3, verse 30, he says, he must increase, but I must decrease. His focus was on Jesus. His focus was on God's will. And he was willing and saw the necessity for the focus need to be shifted from himself to God, to Jesus. Peter, a wonderful example here of focus with Peter. One of my favorite passages, Matthew 14, verses 25 through 31. It says, now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. And said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Great example of staying and keeping focus in our lives on Jesus. There's not one of us as a Christian that has just, no pun intended about this being boat, you know, being in the boat and stuff, but none of us have smooth sailing in our lives. We have health problems that we deal with. We have financial problems we deal with. We face trials every day. But we have to keep our focus on Jesus. In spite of those waves coming up slapping us in the face, in spite of the wind, in spite of the things that would worry other people, we have to stay focused. And I see this as a great example from Peter to keep your eyes on Jesus. To ignore the storms around us and keep walking toward Jesus. You see Stephen in Acts 7. This is the first recorded martyr as a Christian. In Acts 7, starting in verse 54, Stephen had preached to them. Stephen had preached basically the same sermon that Peter did in Acts 2 about how Jesus was the Son of God and about how this Jesus who you crucified was the Son of God and you killed him. Basically the same story. And it says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed their teeth at him. I find it interesting that in these two situations, on the day of Pentecost, it says they were cut to the heart and they cried out, what must we do to be saved? Here, they heard the same message. It says they were cut to the heart, but a different cutting of the heart. They gnashed their teeth at him. They didn't like what they were hearing. Have you ever been so mad or seen somebody so mad that they're just grinding their teeth? They're so angry. They heard this, and instead of being cut to the heart with a repentant attitude, sorry at what they had done, they were angry at the messenger. And they gnashed their teeth at him. Verse 55, but he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of God standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. It's tough enough to stay focused on God when things are good. They are killing this man. And it wasn't a peaceful, gentle death. He was in agony, but he kept his focus on God in spite of being murdered. And while they were stoning him, he's keeping his eyes on God and Jesus. And even had enough sense about him to pray to God, don't hold this against them. Matthew 10, verse 38. Jesus kind of drives the point home very, very clear. Matthew 10, 38, he says, and he who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. That's as plain and simple as I can understand it. We have to stay focused on God and Jesus. Another focus that we need to have is focus on ourselves. Now, I'm not saying that from a selfish angle. One of our problems is sometimes we do focus too much on ourselves, but a different way. We have to look out and to realize that we have our own responsibility for our own salvation. We cannot be saved because mom and dad were. We can't be saved because great-grandpa served God, was a preacher, or was an elder. We can't be saved because our brother is such an outstanding minister in some other congregation. On the flip side of the coin, we can't blame others for our salvation. We are responsible for our own salvation. This eliminates the religious concepts of baptizing infants. This eliminates the concepts of baptizing for dead people, because you are responsible for your own salvation. A little baby, first of all, doesn't have sin and cannot make that decision to follow Christ. A dead person sure can't either. We are responsible for our own salvation. And if we are focusing on Jesus, we have to focus on ourselves and not each other. Not what somebody else is doing. You're not doing so. Well, what are you doing? I got to focus on me if I'm going to make it to heaven. Romans 14, Paul writes to the Christians in Rome, starting in verse 10. He says, but why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each one of us shall give an account of himself to God. We're not going to stand before God and have to explain somebody else's life. We're not going to stand before God and have to justify, well, they did such and such. Why did I do such and such? That was against God's word. Paul writes to the Christians in Philippi in Philippians 2:12. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Because if we don't, it will not go well for us on that day. We have to work out, we have to focus on ourselves. I got enough trouble just me than worrying about everybody else. I really do. I got enough just right here worrying about Bruce Eubank than to worry about everybody else. Matthew 7, starting in verse 1, Jesus is telling his followers, judge not that you may not be judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but you do not consider the plank in your own eye? This is such a visual example here to me. Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. You know, when someone is pointing out the faults in others, often they become just a walking billboard of what not to do. One thing I've noticed over the years is that a lot of the time those that are the most critical have the most work they need to do. Now, again, Jesus tells us not to judge. I've got enough to worry about myself with the issues I've got to deal with than going around helping people with the specks in their own eye. Jesus calls those people hypocrites. And that is not something we want Jesus to see us as. We've looked at how we need to focus on God. We need to focus on ourselves. But you know what? In this thing called life, in this thing called Christianity, it's not just about us. We do have to keep focus in some ways on each other. Philippians 2:4, Paul writes, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. That's what Christianity is. We're running a race all together. We have to worry about our own race, but we're running the race together. And I've heard it said many times, we want to get there with as many people as we can. We want to take people with us. I think of the thoughtful things that so many of you do for each other. The emails, the phone calls, the cards, the prayers, taking each other to doctor's appointments, the little gifts, seeing something made me think of you and giving to each other. Helping each other spiritually. Amen. Helping each other sometimes financially. I think and I'm inspired, and it inspires me to want to do more when I see the things that many of you do. Romans 12, starting in verse 9, Paul says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another. Backbite. Stab each other in the... No, it doesn't say that. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints. Given to hospitality. I can be hospitable. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. And weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. But you don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they said. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. There are some that's tough to do. There are some people that are hard to be at peace with. There's people I think of at work. There's no getting around it. They're at odds with everybody. But it says, as much as it depends on you, if you don't get along with somebody, and it's not giving us the freedom to just say, well, I don't have to try with them. I will, as Paul says, some people are hard to get along with. But as much as it depends on you, if you are at odds with somebody, don't let it be you that's the cause. Don't let it be my fault. If you can't get along with somebody, let it be them. Matthew 28 really drives the point home about focus on others. We call this the Great Commission. Matthew 28, starting in verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." And listen to this next bit of passage with the idea of focusing on others, how it fits in. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." You cannot do those things that Jesus was telling them to do if you didn't have a focus, a love. The love that Jesus had to share it with us. The love that Jesus had to share it with his disciples. He's telling them, you now, you go, and you share it with others. And it takes effort. One, go is a verb. You've got to do. You've got to go. You've got to teach people. And I tell you, you've got to be prepared to teach. It just doesn't come off of your lips. You've got to put effort into it. And you've got to focus on others. Why? To save their souls. Jesus says, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. One, you've got to know the things Jesus has commanded you. You've got to be well-versed enough in the Bible to be able to teach others. And why? To win souls. That's why we're here today. Is to serve God, to remember the sacrifice that he had with his Son to die for us. We are together here to sing praises unto God, to commune with him, remembering Christ's sacrifice, and hopefully better prepare ourselves to go into the world, teaching, preaching, and hopefully ending in the result of baptizing and saving souls. If you're not a Christian today, you need to be. Plain and simple, you need to be a Christian. You need to be a baptized believer in Christ, in God. If you are a Christian, you need to stay focused. Stay focused on God. You need to stay focused on yourself to stay on that path. And we need to focus on others to win other souls. If you need prayers of the congregation, if you need to repent of sins, it's kind of hard to stay focused when you're knee-deep in sin. If you have sin in your life, there is no better time than to repent of that sin. It may be a private thing between you and God. Don't let these next few moments pass without repenting of your sins. If it's of a public nature that needs public repentance, by all means, do so. If you need to repent, if you need prayers, or if you'd like to put your Lord on in baptism, please do so while we stand and sing.